In the concluding moments of this meeting, I want to focus upon the way of the cross. The way of the cross. You cannot read the scriptures of the Old Testament or the New Testament without recognizing that the cross of Christ is a central theme and also a crucial theme. It is absolutely essential in regard to the matter of salvation. Unless we get to the cross, we cannot be saved. Unless we come the way of the cross, we cannot ever get to heaven. The way of the cross is that way planned by God from all eternity, whereby we must come if we are to know the mighty, life-changing work of God in our hearts. There is no other way, my friends. Yes, many have devised other ways. Many have sought to come another way. But none of these other ways, no matter how well planned or schemed they may be, lead to heaven. It is the way of the cross that leads home. This is the way of cleansing from every sin. For the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is the way of God's grace. For the Bible says, by grace you're saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That where sin abounded, grace may much more abound. It is the way of forgiveness. The Bible tells us that in Him is redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We often sing those words, don't we? I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go that the way of the cross leads home. It's not the way of the church, friend. It's not the way of a creed. It's not the way of a ceremony. It's not the way of catechizing or any of these things. No, it's the way of the cross leads home. It's the only way to heaven. And it is clearly signposted to us in the Word of God. Will you come the way of the cross tonight? Will you bow the knee in simple faith and repentance toward God? Will you come that way tonight with a contrite spirit, humbly bowing at the Savior's feet? And it is to this theme that I want to draw your attention, the Holy Spirit helping me to bring God's word and the Holy Spirit applying it to your heart tonight in the closing moments of this meeting. The Lord Jesus Christ went the way of the cross. And what meaning there is in all that Jesus Christ went through. We have it outlined for us to some extent here in this portion of Scripture that we've read from here in the 19th chapter of John. And also the other gospel writers have set before us this great message true. The way of the cross. As we think about this tonight, I want you to notice first of all that the way of the cross was the way of scourging. The Bible tells us here in the very first verse we read tonight, John 19 verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him. Again in Matthew 27 and 26, it says, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, He delivered him to be crucified. Referring to his own death and speaking to the 12 in Luke 18:33, the Lord said, "And they shall scourge him," referring to himself, "and put him to death." And you will notice, if you have a good margin in your Bible, that the word scourge or scourged is rendered whipped. So the Lord Jesus Christ was whipped. The cruel injury inflicted on our Lord's body in this verse was probably far more severe than any English reader might suppose. It was a punishment which among the Romans generally preceded crucifixion and was sometimes so painful that the sufferer died under it. It was often scourging with rods and not always with cords, as painters or sculptors have represented. Josephus, the Jewish historian, particularly mentions that malefactors were scourged and tormented in every way before they were put to death. It is said that under the Roman mode of scourging, the culprit was stripped. He was stretched with cords or thongs on a frame and beaten with rods. Others say that the Roman scourge was a terrible instrument made of thongs loaded at the tips with pieces of bone or metal. In a scourging, the victim was stripped and tied to a low post in such a position that the skin of his back was stretched tight. At the first blow, blood began to flow. And as that flogging proceeded, the skin upon the back was torn to ribbons. Sometimes vital organs were exposed and lacerated. Whatever were the variations of scourging, my friends, it was a dreadful punishment that was meted out to those who had to endure it. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ endured on the way to the cross. The Bible tells us here that he was scourged. He was treated shamefully. And what a fearful and frightening experience that was. The Lord Jesus Christ was physically abused. Some of you here tonight may have seen or even witnessed physical abuse where someone was severely beaten. Something that is horrific and horrendous. And here the Lord Jesus Christ endured something that was dreadful in the extreme. Yes, the way of the cross was the way of scourging. But remember tonight, as we view it, and what the Lord went through, and as we consider it, that it was for you, and it was for me. The hymn writer put it like this: it was for me, the Savior died. The Bible tells us in those words, wonderful words as they are in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." The way of scourging. But then, my friend, I suggest to you tonight, it was the way of suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, verses 36 to 39, reveal that to us. He began to be sorrowful and very heavy, the Bible tells us there. It means he was full of anguish and distress. The thought is that he was crushed with anguish. You see, the shadow of Calvary began to envelop the soul of our Lord Jesus Christ as he found himself in that garden. The Bible tells us then again in Matthew 26:39, he went a little further. And we need to think tonight of how far the Lord Jesus had already come. He'd come all the way from glory to Galilee, by the way of the virgin's womb, by the way of Bethlehem and Egypt and Nazareth, by the way of the manger, by the way of a carpenter's bench. He had come all that way from Galilee to Gethsemane, by the way of Jordan, by the way of Capernaum, by the way of many a long mile, many a mission of miracle and mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ had come. And now he would go to Gethsemane. And he would go to Gabbatha. And he would go to Golgotha, to the grave, and from the grave back to glory. What a journey the Lord Jesus Christ undertook. Look at his account. He tells us that he went a little further, about a stone's cast into the garden. Luke 22:41. A stone's cast. And the thought is here that the stone cast was the distance of death. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ took his place in death's dark field. And utter desolation broke over the soul of Christ as he began to pray there. In Luke 22:44, it tells us, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ drawing near to the cross and considering the cross and what he would have to endure on that cross. And here he's sweating blood. And he pleaded, "Oh, my Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Think of the desolation over his soul. We think of the depths of the Savior's suffering. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that our Lord passed through, and he found the sheep that was lost. The depths of his suffering. You think of the darkness of his suffering there in the garden as he contemplated that cup that was passing before him. What was it that filled that cup with horror? Was it the cross? Any man would shrink from the cross, for it was a dreadful way to die, by crucifixion. The most cruelest form of death imaginable. But many had died that way, and many more would, by means of crucifixion. No, it was not the physical means of death that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to sweat blood. I suggest to you, and I put it to you tonight, that it was our sin. It was the thought of being made sin for us, of dying for sin, of being accursed of God. It was the thought of being alone with no eye to pity and no hand to save. The Lord Jesus Christ, and through this awful desolation in the Garden of Gethsemane, the suffering of Gethsemane, it was for me. It was for you. But then we think not only of the suffering of Gethsemane, we think of the suffering of Gabbatha. John 19:13, the judgment seat here. And he suffered the vehement accusations of men against him. Luke 23:10. Those who were instant in their voices against Christ, demanding that he be crucified. Again, John 19:15, Mark 15:13-14, Matthew 27:22, they all say unto him that's unto Pilate, "Let him be crucified." The accusers of Christ were many. They were fierce and they were forceful in their accusations against Christ. The Bible tells us, and the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. But then you have the crown of thorns, Matthew 27:29. Those long, sharp thorns were pushed into his brow, crushing the lovely brow of the Son of God. His brow was pierced by those cruel thorns. And then they smote him with their hands. You have the smiting of Christ. You have the spitting on Christ. They spat in his face. The Bible tells us. The Word of God declares they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. They stripped him. All of this shameful treatment the Lord Jesus Christ endured. They plucked the hairs from his cheeks. The prophet there, Isaiah, spoke of this in Isaiah 50:6. I give my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Again, Isaiah 52:14, his visage was so marred more than any man, it's far more than the sons of men. He suffered more than any man could ever suffer, more than the sons of men. It was for you. It was for me. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. The sufferings of Gethsemane, the sufferings at Gabbatha, but then you have the suffering at Golgotha, the cross itself, the death of deaths in the death of Christ. The death of the cross, Matthew 27:35, and they crucified him. Mark 15:25, it was the third hour and they crucified him. Luke 23:33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. John 19:18, we've read tonight. They came to the place of the skull, called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. Crucifixion. He was nailed to the tree. Now, I know many others have depicted him as nailed to a cross, and they portray this, but the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to a tree. The Bible tells us that. He was nailed to the tree. He was nailed in his hands and in his feet. I remember many years ago trying to cut a hedge, not very successfully, and standing on a rusty nail which went right up through my foot. And I thought this was absolute agony. But it's nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ went through when he was nailed to the cross. My friend, the manner in which the Savior was to die had been clearly foretold 1,000 years before. He had cried by the spirit of prophecy, Psalm 22:16, they pierced my hands and my feet. The Jewish form of capital punishment was stoning, but the word of God will not fall to the ground. Therefore did Pilate give orders that Christ should be crucified, which was the Roman form of execution, reserved only for the vilest of criminals. And the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. The Bible tells us he was numbered with the transgressors. He was numbered with the transgressors. The Bible tells us of the death that he endured on Calvary's cross. Why did God permit his beloved Son, his only begotten Son, to be so outrageously treated, to show us the place which his Son had taken? It was the place that was due us because of our sins. The place of shame, the place of condemnation, the place of punishment and of suffering unparalleled. And remember, it was for us. For the Bible tells us tonight, Christ died for the ungodly, for you and me, for sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, came to save you, man, woman, young person tonight. And thank God you can be saved tonight by trusting only and solely in the finished work of Calvary. It's the way of the cross, my friend. It's the way of the cross leads home. It was a way of scourging, the way of suffering. It was a way of separation. And what separation the Lord Jesus Christ experienced on the way to the cross, in the garden as he went a little further and prayed, as the disciples forsook him and fled. The Bible tells us, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Judas betrayed him into the hands of his enemies. Peter denied him with oaths and curses. But on the cross, he experienced that separation from the Father in heaven. What a separation. From the sixth to the ninth hour, as he hung on that cross, Matthew 27, verse 45, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, as Christ bore our sins on the cross, he endured the wrath of God. And heaven veiled its face from the Son of God. What a separation. These words that the Lord Jesus Christ uttered are a direct quotation from Psalm 22. Verse 1. It was during that time of darkness on the cross that the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, that he who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that darkness that came upon the Savior and enveloped the cross in those hours of darkness was a symbol of the judgment that he endured when he was made a curse for us. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3:13 that Christ was made a curse for us. For cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. How could a holy God look with favor on a son who had become sin? The Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us. Paul spoke of a separation in Hebrews 13:12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And the image that's used there comes from the Day of Atonement. The sin offering was taken outside the camp and was burned completely. Leviticus 16:27. The Lord Jesus Christ, our perfect sin offering, suffered and died outside the gate of Jerusalem. He endured the separation that you and I might no longer be separated from God, but that we might be brought nigh to him through the work of the cross. Well, thank God, sinner, tonight, though your sins have separated between you and your God, yet tonight you can be brought nigh through the blood of Christ. You can be saved tonight in this meeting. The Lord Jesus Christ endured that separation for you and me, for sinners like you and me. It was the way of separation. But the way of the cross was the way of sacrifice. You see, he offered himself as a sacrifice on the altar of Calvary that we might be saved. What a sacrifice. He gave his life. The Bible tells us there in Hebrews 9, 26 and 28, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin. Listen, by the sacrifice of himself, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Then in that great chapter of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified. Listen, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10, 12, but this man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The offering of himself as a sacrifice for sin. You see, the gospel we preach, friend, is the instead of me sacrifice. Christ instead of me, instead of you. I substitute. The sinner's substitute. He took my place. In my place, condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What lovely words there are in Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Don't look to Alan Smiley tonight. Oh, friend, look beyond the preacher. Look to that tree where Jesus died. Look to that cross where the Savior bled, where he gave himself as a sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, we have that picture brought before us there in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham laying his son Isaac on the altar as a sacrifice. But God provided the Lamb instead of Isaac, the instead of me sacrifice. And he was offered up by Abraham instead of his son. And Christ was offered up on Calvary instead of me and instead of you. Oh, that you might see that tonight. And that by faith you might trust in the sacrifice of the cross, in the Lord Jesus Christ's atoning work. God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Voluntarily he laid it down. John 10, 17, 18. I lay down my life. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. Voluntarily. Laid his life down for us. What love. What love. Beyond any love that could be seen amongst men. The love of God for sinners. God so loved the world. God so loved you, friend, that Christ died on the cross for your salvation. And he shed his blood. Because in the giving of his life and in the sacrifice that he made, his blood was shed. It wasn't spilt, friend. It wasn't spilt. There's no accident. There's no accident. His blood is shed. And the Bible says that again and again. The blood shed for many for the remission of sins. Christ's blood was shed. When he went that way of sacrifice, when he gave his life, his blood, his precious atoning blood was shed to cleanse away our sins. And what power there is to cleanse away every sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Just a few months ago, a man from our church, his wife rang me and said, "Look, my brother-in-law has been in a serious accident. Would you go to the hospital I made my way to the hospital that night to see this man, but on my way out of the hospital again, I met this man coming along the corridor. He said to me, "Are you a priest?" Looked at the dog collar, you see. Thought I was a priest. I said, "No, I'm not. I'm a minister." And he said, "You know, I've lived a wild life, a sinful life." He says, "Now I'm in a hospital." He'd gone outside the door of the hospital to have a smoke, and he was coming in again as I met him. He said, "Can you help me?" He said, "My life is a life of sin and shame, and now I'm in hospital. I'm going to lose part of my leg and in a desperate plight." He said, "Is there any forgiveness for me? Is there mercy for me?" And I shared as best as I could from the Word of God to that man as I stood there beside his wheelchair and talked to him about the gospel and told him of his need of Christ. And that the blood of Christ could cleanse him from all sin. I prayed with him and left him a little gospel tract. I said, "Would you read that?" And some days later, as I was coming again that same corridor from visiting that same man in intensive care, I came down again. And there's the man again, coming in the wheelchair. He stopped me again. He said, "Is there mercy for me? I've lived a wild life. I know the same thing again." I said to him, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." Talked to him again, left him. I don't know how that man, things panned out with him, but my friend, that's the message of the gospel. That's the only message that we have to proclaim. That there is mercy with the Lord. There is forgiveness with the Lord. There is salvation with the Lord. Salvation for you tonight. You see, the way of the cross, not only the way of scourging and the way of separation and the way of suffering and the way of sacrifice, but it's the way of salvation. It's the way of salvation. That hymn we quoted earlier, "I must needs go on in the blood sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod, if I ever climb to the heights sublime where the soul is at home with God. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore, for my Lord says, 'Come,' and I seek my home where he waits at the open door." And then the refrain again, "The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home." It is sweet to know, as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. It's the only way to heaven, friend. I listen to preachers at funerals, and sometimes I feel like getting up out of my seat and getting up there and saying, "What are you talking about? Leading these people astray." It so frustrates me that they're telling people they can get to heaven by some other way. But it's not the way of the cross. Oh, my friend, tonight, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I was at a funeral one day. A minister I know him to speak to and to talk to. I came out into the graveyard. One of the men out of my church said to me, "Mr. Smiley, is that the same man we knew he was talking about?" I said to him later on, I knew him first name terms, I said to him, "Brian, why did you not preach the gospel? You're saved, you know, and yet you're not preaching, and that's a man who died in a sin. Yet you're sending him to heaven. Terrible. Terrible." "Oh," he said, "it's what they want to hear." I said, "It's not what they need to hear, Brian. It's not the gospel. My friend, there's only one way of salvation. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man's way is any way but God's way, any way but Christ, any way but the way of the cross." The The only way to heaven is God's way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's the only way to heaven. It's the only way of hope, friend. This world offers only hopelessness. Listen to them tonight. I was listening to them on the radio there. But this Brexit. And then, they're all over the place. It's hopelessness. And people are worrying about this and that and the other thing. And they have no hope, friend. They have no hope. But thank God the gospel offers you hope tonight. Not only for now, but for all eternity. It's the only way of happiness. The way of the cross brings joy to the heart of man. The misery and unhappiness of this world will be removed. There is joy, real joy, to be found in Christ. You see, the joy of this world is superficial. It's passing. It's fleeting. It feels. It fades away. There's nothing enduring about it. But the joy that Christ gives, it's joy unspeakable, full of glory, everlasting joy. Let me ask you tonight, will you come the way of the cross? Dear man, woman, young person, in this meeting tonight, because if you miss the way of the cross, you'll miss heaven. To miss the way of the cross is to be lost forever in a Christless eternity. I remember a man, and I was ministering in the Shankill Road for many years. I got this call to this old city hospital. You can imagine how long that was ago. And I made my way up the old stairway there into the old city hospital. And this man, I knew him. He was dying. I explained the way of salvation to him, as I'd done many times in the past. Named him by his name, and I said, "Will you come? Will you come?" And he shouted out, "No! Go away! No!" He died without Christ. Missed the way of the cross. Friend, tonight, don't miss it. Don't miss Christ. Come the way of the cross tonight. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I give you rest." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight.